This is Nikki Bannerman. Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast with a special bonus bite-size feature from award-winning voiceover Kelly Ann Smith. This is a special short feature highlighting the research Kelly Ann has done using facial recognition and audio software to capture the reality of women represented on TV screens. Her in-depth interview on her own work life and influences is downloadable on the Influential Women Podcast platform, along with other real-life stories from incredible broadcasters, inspiring campaigners, and successful authors sharing their uplifting adversity stories, and their lives, their influences, and their mantras to help you with your life. So here is Kelly.
Women on TV. Are we still in the shadows? Or are the gender books balanced? The roles women fall into are less of a question here. This is purely a numbers game. So how do you help improve the gender balance? Hello, my name is Kelly Ann Smith, and this is See Her, Be Her, a look into gender representation on British television. I kept reading all the headlines about women taking over the Grammys and Britain's busiest broadcasters, all being women, and wondering, has there actually been a shift? After hashtag MeToo and Time's Up, are things finally moving towards equality? If you believe the headlines, it certainly seems like it. But sitting at home simply watching TV of an evening, do you actually recognise yourself? Do you feel represented? Do you feel seen? You may believe this is something you wouldn't notice, but on a deeper level, it will be affecting you somehow. And once you start noticing, it's really hard to stop. I've been working on the periphery of television for over 20 years, but I'm also an avid fan. As a woman who is, well, not young and not model proportions, I couldn't find myself anywhere. In fact, I noted a real lack of women altogether. And as for BAME women, black, Asian and minority ethnic, and older women, there was a woeful amount. I suspected that women were shown less on TV than men, so I decided to find out if I was right or if my little lady brain was playing tricks on me. Now, before I explain how, just a quick word on gender. The World Health Organization describes sex as biologically defined characteristics, whereas gender is based on social construct. However, the terms are often used interchangeably. How one chooses to identify is impossible to garner from a computer program. So when we talk about gender in this documentary, we are only referring to sex. So, how do you measure how many men and women are seen on British TV?
I designed a facial recognition tool that uses machine learning to detect faces in videos.
This is Dr. Nick Sines.
The tool detects faces but does not identify gender.
And it works very simply.
The tool finds faces every second of the video, then clusters them together based on the similarity of facial landmarks. The clustered faces are then presented to the user, who can label them as male, female, or unknown. Once all faces are classified, statistics are generated on the percentage of screen time for men and women.
I also teamed up with a Swedish company to run listening software.
My name is Lisa Hamburg, and I am the chief product officer at Seretai and also co-founder. And at Seretai, we provide automated diversity analysis of media.
Seretai's software allowed me to measure how many women and men were heard on screen. And it was something they'd done before on Game of Thrones. Lisa, how did that work?
We analyzed the speaking time between men and women in the series over all the seasons. And the results was pretty interesting. It said that it was 75% male speech and only 25% female speech in the entire series.
I used Seretai's software in addition to my facial recognition software. So in total, I analysed 82.5 hours of video and 22.5 hours of audio. I measured the five public service broadcasting channels, or PSBs, as we'll call them from now on. That's BBC One, BBC Two, ITV, Channel 4 and Channel 5. I measured from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. for 5 weeks, which accounts for peak viewing that is pre-watershed. I also measured a further 2 weeks of post-watershed peak output, so that's from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. And the results were pretty stark. BBC One does appear to be quite fair on the sex split of programming, between 6:30 and 9, but from 9 to 11, the results are alarming, with only one quarter of screen time being afforded to women. Now, I did also notice a trend across all the channels that news and soaps seem to prop up screen time numbers. So when I did this on the 9 to 11 tally for BBC One, women were on screen just 13% of the time. Overall, BBC Two was even worse. They don't show soaps, but I didn't even have to remove news to find an imbalance. After 5 weeks of measuring their total screen time between 6:30 and 9, I discovered that women make up just 35%, and post-watershed, that falls to 21%. Now, additionally, on just one day on BBC Two, Seretai's listening software found women spoke only 9% of the time. I wrote to the BBC regarding these findings, and a spokesperson said,
"We are proud of the progress we have made across all our channels, and the latest figures for Diamond found that the BBC's overall screen representation for women at 55.8% is higher than the other broadcasters."
So what are the Diamond figures they reference? Every broadcaster I wrote to quoted the same report to me. Had I missed a crucial piece of data? How could the channels be quoting such different numbers to mine? It was time to find out.
I'm Amy Turton. I'm the manager for Diamond at CDN, which means that I'm responsible for the day-to-day management of the Diamond project, which collects diversity data about people making UK television.
I delved deep into the Diamond report and soon spotted a problem. The way on-screen representation is measured between Diamond and myself is completely different. I measured total percentage of time on screen for each person, whereas Diamond operate a tick box system. If you're in the programme, regardless of how long or in what part, a box is ticked. I need to clarify this with Amy. If in a 30-minute programme there are 4 women on screen for 1 minute each, and 1 man for the remaining 26 minutes, would this show up as 80% female?
It would, yes.
Under my metric, the same programme would be 87% male. The problem at once became clear. It is not that the Diamond report is in any way incorrect. They are measuring on and off-screen representation and need comparable data. However, could the broadcasters be using these findings incorrectly to bolster their gender parity headlines? Of the 5 main public service broadcasters, Channel 4 has revealed itself to be one of the worst offenders. Of the total screen time people are seen on TV, women make up just over a third. Channel 4's strapline is innovative, alternative content that challenges the status quo. Yet it was almost bottom on a gender equality study. A Channel 4 spokesperson said,
"At Channel 4, we have put diverse talent at the core of our inclusion and diversity strategy and always strive to improve on and off-screen representation across all areas of diversity. Leading industry data from Diamond shows good female representation on Channel 4 across a much longer timescale, both on and off-screen."
So back to Amy again. Could TV execs who know about Diamond and how its data is collected technically game the system by hiring lots of disabled female BAME extras?
In terms of gaming the system, I don't think so. I mean, the broadcasters are obviously commissioning the programmes, and it's the producers who are collecting this data in terms of sending out the diversity forms to the people who are on the programme. And their role is to capture everybody who's on the programme.
This is really interesting to me because one of the channels was particularly aggressive in their response to me regarding my data findings, and they quoted their very high Diamond stats. And as you've specified, it isn't a fair comparison.
I would say that I think that data literacy generally in the sector is quite low. I found it quite surprising. I think from what I see, there's a lot of kind of somebody will put a number out there as a fact, and it will be taken as sort of absolute truth for a very long time. I'd like to think that even if, you know, the Diamond number overall is you know, if it says females are represented 55% of contributions, I'd like to think that the industry don't think, oh, brilliant, job done.
But is it fair that broadcasters quote you in this way?
Well, yes. I mean, I think the as long as everyone's clear about what they're quoting, then that's fine. But I mean, obviously it's interesting to note with your method that it has there's less screen time compared. So, you know, just because there's one man and one woman on the screen doesn't mean they're necessarily having equal screen time. So it's interesting to note.
Now, I'm loath to say best, as they've still got a way to go, but Channel 5 was the least bad offender during peak pre-watershed viewing. Women received 43% of screen time. But contrary to all other channels, after 9, they actually increased a few percent. However, they were again propped up by news and soaps. Channel 5 responded,
Channel 5 is a member of the Creative Diversity Network and supports its online diversity measurement tool called Diamond, which measures on- and off-screen diversity in the TV industry. Diamond's recent third cut of data was drawn from 30,000 responses.
Amy, Channel 5's figures were the only ones that tallied with mine, yet they were deemed to be doing the worst in the Diamond report. My findings showed them as the best of the 5 PSBs for gender equality. Women that were on screen were on for longer, so presumably in larger roles. Do those measurements give you any food for thought on future collections?
Definitely. I mean, I'm not sure. I think definitely on-screen time is something that hasn't really been thought about in the conversations I've had with the broadcasters, but definitely something worth considering, as you say.
And where is ITV, you may be wondering? Well, ITV appears to be quite fair on the sex split of programming between 6:30 and 9. However, between 9 and 11, the results become more worrying. And once again, that trend of soaps and news prevails. Removing those genres showed a female percentage of between just 38 to 32%. I did write to ITV, but they were the only broadcaster who declined to respond. So, the main 5 PSBs do not have anywhere near a representative split when it comes to the sexes. But does this matter?
My name is Dr. Magdalena Zawisza Riley. I'm an associate lecturer or associate professor at Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge. And my background is psychology, specifically social psychology, and I specialise in gender and consumer issues.
Does the common adage, you have to see it to be it, hold any truth?
We certainly know that having role models makes a difference, and it's very important to have those role models. And in gender psychology, we've got a robust and tested theory, which is referred to as a gender role theory. So yes, I would say we need to see women and men in non-stereotypical, non-traditional roles in order to kind of make a way towards less traditional gender roles and therefore to dismantle gender stereotypes.
In your book, Advertising Gender in Society, you ask how psychological theory, like stereotype threat, may inform real-world problems. Can you briefly explain that to us?
The basic notion is that every single person belongs to at least one social group which happens to have a negative stereotype attached to them. Stereotype threat theory says that when a stereotype which has this negativity attached to it is made salient in one's mind, and the person happens to belong to the stigmatized group, then that results in anxiety.
She continues to say that the anxiety affects our thinking power, which results in underperformance. Magdalena offered an example.
So let's say if we kind of made the stereotype salient that women are not particularly good at maths, and let's have a woman then in these conditions sit an exam in maths. Research shows that she would underperform on the maths test.
Hang on, so let me get this clear. If someone is shown negative stereotypes around their gender, race, social class, age, etc., they go on to underperform in certain tests.
As long as the stereotype actually tells us that the particular social group is not very good at that particular skill, so women and maths.
So Magdalena, you mainly look at advertising. So if that kind of damage can be done from a 30-second advert, what could happen from a whole evening, a whole week's worth of watching primetime TV, where women might only be on screen 30% of the time?
There is also a theory for that. And guess what? This theory tells us that, unfortunately, these cumulative effects are not good news. So these cumulative effects of exposure are said to amplify any negative effects of such exposure. So certainly, this is something which should be avoided and therefore something which should be monitored.
Why should these television channels, these broadcasters, care about research like this?
Equality is good for societies on multiple levels. Societies, economies and individuals. So we do have research which shows that more egalitarian societies, for example, do better economically. We know from individuals that when they are in relationships in which partners share the chores equally, they report better relationship satisfaction and even better sexual life. So what's not to like? I mean, there are only positives in equality and diversity. If, you know, if the moral argument is not convincing enough, then there is a very convincing economic argument here as well.
So I love that. If the moral argument's not enough, then you're going to have a more wealthy country, you're going to have a better sex life, and everyone's just going to be happier.
So everyone is a winner.
So how do we move forward from here? We all agree that looking at roles is a vital step into women's representation on screen. Magdalena?
Another question which is far more nuanced and very important to ask is, in what types of programmes or in what types of genres are men and women portrayed?
Amy?
The types of roles that women might have, you know, do they play the science professor, or are they just always playing the housewife?
And Lisa?
Important that we take our analysis to the next step and start looking at actual content that they get to speak about as well.
But I'm not sure we can start on that when we can't even quantify sheer numbers. The Creative Diversity Network's Amy Turton suggested that PSBs may have a problem understanding data. But I worry that is the best case scenario. More concerning is that broadcasters are purposefully misinterpreting the figures. The current system can be manipulated so easily. Simply put, a white male lead on screen for 52 minutes. Then add four BAME women as extras, with 2 minutes on screen each. Under the industry standard measurement, that show would be 80% female and 80% BAME. Yet those BAME women are on screen for a total of 8 minutes, collectively. So while I agree with my colleagues that observing gender roles on TV is vital, I don't think the two should be mutually exclusive. On the contrary, they can and must be observed together. The BBC offered examples of strong female-led shows like The Split and Newsnight in their response to this data, but a few shining beacons don't illuminate the sky. Women shouldn't have to choose between quantity or quality. We should have both. This documentary was written and produced by me, Kellyanne Smith, with special thanks to Dr. Nick Sines, who developed the facial recognition tool and without whom none of this would have been possible. Thank you to Dr. Magdalena Zavisha-Riley and Lisa Hamburg. And to Nikki Bannerman and Juliet Nichols from the Influential Women podcast. The original music is by Andy Fosbury at fullycomposed.co.
Thanks, Kellyanne, for some thought-provoking research. We hope you all enjoyed this short bonus feature, and please subscribe for free for regular, longer guest interviews and updates out every other Tuesday on all podcasting platforms, including Apple, Google, and Spotify. And please check out all our other previous episodes. Bye for now from Nikki, Juliet, and Saffron Mirza.